The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first story today is going to be Strega Nona by Tommy de Puola. Anyways, here we go. In a town in Calabria, a long time ago, and Calabria, by the way, is in Italy, there lived an old lady everyone called Strega Nona, which meant Grandma Witch. Although all the people in town talked about her in whispers, they all went to see her if they had troubles. Even the priest and the sisters of the convent went, because Strega Nona did have a magic touch. She could cure a headache with oil, water, and a hairpin. She made special potions for girls who wanted husbands, and she was very good at getting rid of warts. But Strega Nona was getting old, and she needed someone to help her keep her little house and garden, so she put up a sign in the town square. And Big Anthony, who didn't pay attention, went to see her. "Anthony," said Strega Nona, "you must sweep the house and wash the dishes. You must weed the garden and pick the vegetables. You must feed the goat and milk her. And you must fetch the water. For this, I will give you 3 coins and a place to sleep and food to eat." "Oh, grazie," said Big Anthony. "The one thing you must never do," said Strega Nona, "is touch the pasta pot. It is very valuable, and I don't let anyone touch it." "Oh, see, yes," said Big Anthony. And so the days went by. Big Anthony did his work, and Strega Nona met with the people who came to see her for headaches and husbands and warts. Big Anthony had a nice bed to sleep in next to the goat shed, and he had food to eat. One evening, when Big Anthony was milking the goat, he heard Strega Nona singing. Peeking in the window, he saw Strega Nona standing over the pasta pot. "Bubble, bubble, pasta pot, boil me some pasta, nice and hot. I'm hungry and it's time to sup. Boil enough pasta to fill me up." And the pasta pot bubbled and boiled and was suddenly filled with steaming hot pasta. And then Strega Nona sang, "Enough, enough, pasta pot. I have my pasta nice and hot. So simmer down my pot of clay until I'm a hungry another day." "How wonderful," said Big Anthony. "That's a magic pot for sure." And then Strega Nona called Big Anthony in for supper. But too bad for Big Anthony, because he did not see Strega Nona blow 3 kisses to the magic pasta pot. And this is what happened. The next day, when Big Anthony went to the town square to fetch water, he told everyone about the pasta pot. And everyone laughed at him because it sounded so silly. A pot that cooked all by itself. "You are a big liar," they said. And Big Anthony was angry, and that was not a very good thing to be. "I'll show them," he said to himself. "Someday I will get the pasta pot and make it cook, and then they'll be sorry." That day came sooner than even Big Anthony would have thought, because 2 days later, Strega Nona said to Big Anthony, "Anthony, I must go over the mountain to the next town to see my friend, Strega Amelia. Sweep the house and weed the garden. Feed the goat and milk her, and for your lunch, there are some bread and cheese in the cupboard. And remember, don't touch the pasta pot." "Oh, yes, yes," Strega Nona said, Big Anthony. But inside he was thinking, "My chance has come." And as soon as Strega Nona was out of sight, Big Anthony went inside and pulled the pasta pot off the shelf and put it on the floor. "Now, let's see if I can remember the words," said Big Anthony. And Big Anthony sang, "Bubble, bubble, pasta pot, boil me some pasta nice and hot. I'm hungry and it's time to sup. Boil enough pasta to fill me up." And sure enough, the pot bubbled and boiled and began to fill with pasta. "Aha," said Big Anthony, and he ran to the town square, jumped on the fountain, and shouted, "Everyone, get forks and plates and platters and bowls. Pasta for all at Strega Nona's house." Big Anthony has made the magic pasta pot work. So, of course, everyone laughed. But still, they all ran home to get forks and plates and platters and bowls. And sure enough, when they got to Strega Nona's, the pasta pot was so full, it was beginning to overflow. Big Anthony was a hero. He scooped out pasta and filled the plates and platters and bowls. There was more than enough for all the townspeople, including the priest and the sisters from the convent. And some people came back for two or three helpings, but the pot was never empty. And when they all had had their fill, Big Anthony sang, "Enough, enough, pasta pot, I have my pasta, nice and hot. So simmer down my pot of clay, until I'm hungry another day." But alas, he did not blow the three kisses. He went outside, and to the applause of the crowd, Big Anthony took a bow. He was so busy listening to the compliments from everyone that he didn't notice the pasta pot was still bubbling and boiling until a sister from the convent said, "Oh, Big Anthony, look!" And pasta was pouring out of the pot all over the floor of Strega Nona's house, and it was coming out the door. Uh-oh. Big Anthony rushed in and shouted the magic words again, but the pot kept bubbling. He took the pot off the floor, but pasta kept pouring from it. Big Anthony grabbed a cover and put it on the pot and sat on it. But the pasta raised the cover and Big Anthony as well and spilled over onto the floor of Strega Nona's house. "Stop!" yelled Big Anthony. But the pasta did not stop, and if someone hadn't grabbed poor Big Anthony, the pasta would have covered him up. The pasta had all but filled up Strega Nona's little house. Out of the windows and through the doors came the pasta, and the pot kept right on bubbling. The townspeople began to worry. "Do something, Big Anthony," they shouted. Big Anthony sang the magic song again, but without the three kisses at the end, it did no good. By this time, the pasta was on its way down the road, and all the people were running to keep ahead of it. "We must protect our town from the pasta," shouted the mayor. "Get mattresses, tables, doors, anything to make a barricade." But even that didn't work. The pot kept bubbling, and the pasta kept coming. "We are lost," said the people, and the priest and the sisters of the convent began to pray. "The pasta will cover our town," they all cried. And certainly it would have, if had Strega Nona not come down the road, home from her visit. She didn't have to look twice to know what had happened. She sang the magic song and blew the three kisses, and with a sputter the pot stopped boiling, and the pasta came to a halt. "Oh, grazie, thank you, Strega Nona," the people cried. But then they turned on poor Big Anthony. "String him up," the man of the town shouted. "Now wait," says Strega Nona, "the punishment must fit the crime." And she took a fork from a lady standing nearby and held it out to Big Anthony. "All right, Anthony, you wanted pasta from my magic pot," said Strega Nona, "and I want to sleep in my little bed tonight. So start eating." Uh-oh, poor Anthony had to eat all that pasta. And he did. And here at the end is a picture of Strega Nona in her bed, sound asleep. And there's Anthony sitting down by the wall with a fork. And he looks like he has a very big tummy and a very big tummy ache. And that's the end of Strega Nona. Our next story is called Ruby and the Magic Garden, and it takes place in a little place called Fairy Hill. So here we go. Oh, by the way, this book is by Carrie Meister. Fairy Hill is a land of sparkle and of fun. There are fairy homes, there are fairy shops, And there even is a magical fairy garden. Ruby, Luna, and May live in Fairy Hill. They are very best friends. They love to learn magic. Oops, I lost my ball, said Luna. I need more practice. Ring-a-ling-ling, ring-a-ling-ling. The Fairy Queen is here, said Luna. Wow, says May, she is all sparkle. Look, said Ruby, that fairy is getting her big wings. And the Fairy Queen was pointing at another little fairy. She must have done something extra brave or kind and helpful. So a little fairy gets her big fairy wings when she's done something extra special for other people. I wonder what my big wings will look like someday, said Ruby. I hope I earn mine soon, says May. And me too, said Luna. Ruby and Luna and May still have small wings. They cannot fly, but they ride on their fairy flyers to get around. And their fairy flyers are big, beautiful butterflies. And also dragonflies and crickets, it looks like. Let's go to the garden, said Luna. Good idea, says May. Race you, said Ruby. And Ruby rides with Ace, her butterfly. Ace is fast. Whoa, Ruby laughs. Look at my beard. And that's all the dandelion things that come off the dandelions as they whoosh past. Soon they are at the magic garden. But it is all brown. Something is wrong. The garden has lost its sparkle, says Ruby. I will fix it, said May. May sprinkles fairy dust. But the garden does not change. It still looks all wilted and brown. I will fix it, said Luna. And Luna plays a magic song. But the garden still does not change. And then they hear a song. It is a baby deer, said Luna. He looks lost, says May. Don't worry, said Ruby. We'll help you. Magic clover helps lost animals find their way home, says May. But the magic clover is all wilted. It has lost its magic. What are we going to do? Asked Luna. Ruby looks at the dirt, and she looks at the flowers. She spots something shiny. It is Luna's lost ball. It is blocking the magic water, which is why all the plants are brown. They don't have water. I will fix it, said Ruby, and she waves her wand, and the ball lifts into the air, and the water flows. The flowers start to sparkle again. You saved the garden, says Luna. Thank you, thank you. Ruby finds some magic clover and gives it to the deer, and he licks her face and runs home. There goes the little baby deer. Little deer are called fawns. Ring-a-ling-a-ling, ring-a-ling-a-ling. Look, says May. Here comes the Fairy Queen, said Luna. You were kind to the deer, Ruby, said the Fairy Queen. And you fixed the magic garden. Today you've earned your big wings. The Fairy Queen taps her magic wand and Ruby's big wings grow. They sparkle and they shimmer. Your wings are perfect, said Luna. They are so shiny, says May, and the Fairy Queen smiles. I can't wait to try my new wings, says Ruby, and off she races with her own wings, while her friends follow behind her on their dragonfly and their cricket, I think that is. Anyways, what a nice story. That was a short one, but quick one. Our next book is Where Happiness Lives. This is Gray Mouse in his sweet little home. He is happy and safe there and never alone. It's just enough room for each mouse to have fun and plenty of windows to let in the sun. It looks like there's two little mice and three little mice, four little mice, and a mom and a dad. There's a garden outside with a shady oak tree. I'm lucky, said Mouse. This home is perfect for me. and there the kids are playing in this big oak tree. One little mouse is standing on a branch. Another is sitting on another branch reading a book. And there's a nice tower swing. And one little mouse is pushing the other mouse. And in the garden, another little mouse is pushing one little mouse in a wheelbarrow. And they're all having fun. Two little mice are playing with balls and stuff. And there's so many pretty flowers and things. But one day when out walking, Mouse spots a large door. It belongs to a house that is hard to ignore. There's oodles of space and a balcony, too. The owner, a white mouse, looks out at the view. "Good morning," calls Gray House. "I live down the way in a sweet little home. That seemed fine. Till today. But your home's much bigger. I wish mine were grand. You must be the happiest mouse in this land." The mouse on the balcony heaves a big sigh. "I was happy once, and then another house caught my eye. From my favorite chair I gaze up at its tower. And now I'm more jealous with each passing hour. It's simply amazing, like nothing I've seen." "Please show me," said Gray Mouse. "It sounds like a dream." So they scamper along, never pausing to look at the glittering fishes that leap in the brook, and they don't see the dance two bright butterflies share, or hear the soft bird song, or sniff the sweet air. There's a mountain to climb, but the mice don't give in. The house at the top makes their furry head spin. "It's a house like no other. This home has it all, a gardens with fountains, a banqueting hall, a dome and a spire, both designed to impress. The brown mouse who greets them has jewels in her dress, on her dress. It almost looks like a castle. "Welcome," she cries. "Won't you please step inside? There's lots to explore here, and I will be your guide." She serves them fine pastries on plates made of gold, then leads them through hallways past treasures untold. "The game room, the parlor, my room for guitars, and this is the dome where I gaze up at the stars." And there's a great glass dome where she can look out at the stars in the sky at night and plot out and the telescope to look out to find the different constellations and tell the weather and all sorts of things. What a beautiful, beautiful house. "Oh my," sighed the two mice in dismay, the last of their happiness drifting away. "We were once contented, but now we feel poor. The happiest mouse is the mouse who has more." Oh, they felt so bad that they didn't have a fancier house and lots of things like the little brown mouse did. And there, through its lens, is a sweet little home. It doesn't have fountains, a spire, or a dome. It doesn't have treasures. There isn't the space. But each little mouse has a smile on its face. "It's lonely up here," says the wealthy brown mouse, "but it brightens my day just to look at that house. What a treasure it is. Oh, what joy that it gives. For that is a house where true happiness lives." The brown mouse says nothing but points to a stand where a telescope rests, looking out over the land. "It's my home," cried Gray Mouse. "Well, who would have guessed that a mouse in a mansion could think that I was blessed?" And there they are. The two other mice were laughing away. Whatever your home, it is happy indeed. And there they're showing a little beehive with all the little bees and smiles on their faces. If you love what you have, then you have what you need. This shows a frog living in a pond underneath a lily pad. And then here is a hole in the side down in the grass, and there's a mother bunny and a little baby bunny, and they're eating these delightfully juicy carrots. "How true," cheers the white mouse, his eyes shining bright. I don't need a tower, high tower. My home is just right. And here, the white mouse, the brown mouse, brings them some hot cocoa and sweet cherry pies. And so they all gather round as the moon starts to rise. And then the three of them gaze at the stars in the hand in hand, the happiest mice in the whole of the land. So that just goes to show that wherever your home is, that's the best place to be and the happiest you're ever going to be. And that is the end of the book called Where Happiness Lives. This story is The Flower Prowler, and it has Minnie Mouse and Daisy Duck in it, just like in the Disney stories. So here we go. One spring day, Daisy Duck rang Minnie Mouse's doorbell. "Hi, Minnie," Daisy said. "I brought you some marigolds from my garden." "Daisy, you're a dear," said Minnie. "They'll look perfect with my daffodils." "Definitely," Daisy agreed. "Daffodils are my favorite flower." "Mine too," said Minnie. But when the friends went out to Minnie's backyard, they had a big surprise. "My daffodils," Minnie shrieked. "They're gone." "What's this?" Daisy asked a moment later, and she pulled a few strands of fuzzy white hair off a bush near the daffodil patch. "Is it a clue?" Minnie asked. "Maybe the flower prowlers left it." "Maybe," said Daisy, "or maybe it's from Fluffy the cat's whoa." A moment later, Minnie's doorbell rang. Mickey Mouse was standing on the porch. "Hi, Minnie," he said shyly. "I brought you a present." And he held out a big bunch of daffodils, and they were tied up with a fluffy white ribbon. "Oh, Mickey," Minnie cried, "how could you? You cut down my daffodils." Do you think Mickey did that? Do you really think he could do something that mean? "What do you mean, Minnie?" Mickey exclaimed. "I brought these at Power's Flower Shop because I know your daffodils are your favorite flowers." Minnie smiled. "Really?" she said, and she was so glad that Mickey wasn't the flower prowler. Daisy, Minnie, and Mickey decided to look around town for the flower prowler. They headed to the park and found Goofy with a daffodil in his lapel, and he was playing with a yo-yo that had fuzzy white string. "Gosh, Minnie," Goofy said, "I didn't do it. This daffodil came from Power's Flower Shop. Mr. Power is having a sale on daffodils today." "Really?" Minnie said, "that's quite a coincidence." Daisy nodded. "Maybe we better check out Mr. Power's flowers right now." The four friends went to Power's flowers. They peeked in the window. "That's Mr. Power," Mickey said. Minnie saw the shopkeeper had a pair of sharp scissors and a fuzzy white mustache, and his shop was full of daffodils. "He did it," she cried. "I know he did." And there's a big sign in Mr. Power's window, "Daffodils for sale." Minnie and her friends burst into the shop. "Where did you get these daffodils?" Minnie asked. "From a farmer named Mrs. Pope," Mr. Power answered. "She delivers daffodils here every day, but today she brought dozens of extras." Minnie wondered if Mrs. Pope could be the prowler. "Where can we find her?" she continued. Mr. Power pointed. "That-a-way," she said. He said, "you can't miss her. She has fuzzy white hair." Mrs. Pote's farm was called Pote's Goats. "Yes, I delivered extra daffodils today," Mrs. Pote told Minnie. "My favorite goat, Flower, usually eats a lot of them as soon as they bloom. But today she didn't seem very hungry." That gave Minnie an idea. "May I see Flower?" she asked. Mrs. Pote led the friends to a pen, but there was no goat inside. "Oh, dear," Mrs. Pote cried. "She must have escaped." "Look, there's a hole in the fence," Mickey said, pointing. "Now what do we do?" Daisy exclaimed. "Not only are Minnie's daffodils gone, but so is Mrs. Pote's goat." "Hmm," said Minnie, deep in thought. Maybe these two mysteries are connected. Minnie and the others followed the footprints straight to Daisy's yard, and there was Flower the goat munching happily away. "See," Minnie said, "I knew it. There's our flower prowler. Now, if we could only train her to like weeds instead. And they all left. And there's this cute little white goat munching, not white goat, but there's a lot of white on her, munching away at the flowers. And that is the end of this book. Our last story today is a Peppa Pig story, and it's called George's New Balloon. George is the little pig, Peppa's little brother. Peppa and George are driving home with Granny and Grandpa Pig when they see Miss Rabbit's ice cream stall. "Let's stop for ice cream," said Granny Pig. "Why not?" said Grandpa Pig. "I think we all deserve it." Peppa, Granny, and Grandpa Pig chose their ice cream. George is next. "Dinosaur! Roar!" said George. "I think George wants that dinosaur balloon," said Miss Rabbit. "All right, how much is it?" Grandpa Pig asked. $10, please," said Miss Rabbit. Grandpa Pig thinks the balloon is a bit expensive, but he does buy it for George anyways. "Now hold on tight to it," Miss Rabbit says. But George let go, and the balloon starts to float away. Grandpa Pig quickly grabs the string. "This is very valuable, George. I'll hold it all the way home." Outside Granny and Grandpa Pig's house, George plays with his balloon. "George," says Peppa, "this is an up balloon, and if you let it go again, it will go to the moon." "Moon!" cries George, and he lets the balloon go. The balloon goes up and up, but Grandpa Pig catches it again just in time. Peppa and George have gone indoors to keep the balloon safe. "Hello, Polly," says Peppa. "George has got a new balloon." "Squawk!" cries Polly the parrot. "Balloon!" Both Polly and George love that balloon. "Oh, no," George cries, letting go of the balloon again. The balloon floats all the way out the door, up the stairs, and into the attic. "Don't worry, it's safe in here," said Peppa. The only way out of there is through the attic and out of the window," says Granny Pig, "and the window is always shut." But, oh, the window is not shut, and the balloon escapes outside. "Your balloon is going to the moon," George says. "Wah," says George. Just then, Daddy Pig arrives to take them home. "Oh, dear. There must be some way we can get the balloon." "Squawk! Balloon!" says Polly Parrot, and she flies up high into the sky. She grabs the balloon string in her beak and brings it back down to George. Polly Parrot has saved the day. Hooray, George cheers. Well, it looks like we've run out of time for today's episode of Children's Story of Read to Succeed. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Be sure to listen next time. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening.